Hello, and welcome to The Through Ball, a podcast presented by WVUA 90.7 The Capstone. I'm MG Cease. Now, my ride or die fans of all three episodes may be a little confused about the name change, so let me go ahead and say yes, this is the third name in as many episodes. But I do think that this is the name will stick. So to my day ones, sorry for the confusion, but that's showbiz, baby! Today I'm going to recap and offer a little analysis on Alabama's first loss of the season, and then I'll offer a quick look ahead to this week's game against the Arkansas Razorbacks. Let's get into it. So the Alabama women's soccer team lost 2-1 against the University of Florida Gators on Sunday, October 4th. Let's jump in with a couple of logistical details real quick. It was 68 degrees and rainy during the game, so sloppy conditions. Also, very different conditions than the Mississippi State University game, which, if you will recall, was 90% humidity. So I thought they handled the sloppy conditions pretty well, to be honest. Now, the team was missing a couple of key players. They had three players in quarantine. Names were not listed, but either way, there were three players not available because of that. Tana Sanchez-Coretta was out on a red card, as my guest Sam Hallam and I discussed last week. And Mattingly was listed as not available for travel. That is Riley Mattingly, junior center forward, a key piece of the Alabama attack. Now, that was certainly covered in the broadcast, so if this is the first you're hearing of it, it's probably going to be the only mention of it, because honestly, I feel like that avenue was exhausted during the game. They really wanted us to know that Mattingly was not there. Again, like we discussed last week, fans were in the Donald R. Disney Stadium, 368, that strangely specific number. And look, I know that there's math involved to get a number so specific, something with social distancing and the number of chairs, and it probably involves geometry, maybe algebra, I don't know. But listen, I am in the College of Communications for a reason, and I am not here for math. So we're just going to stick with the fact that that's kind of a weirdly specific number and move on. The fans were definitely quiet throughout the first half, but they did get louder in the second. Now, I'm not sure if the weather was an influence. As I mentioned, it had been raining, but I thought it was definitely interesting that they were so subdued in that first half. Either way, no cowbells, so you know I'm happy about that. Alabama dominated in the first half. As per usual, they came out aggressive. They had a very high press in this game. Their back line came up further than I think it was in even the Tennessee game and the Mississippi State game. This led to a little more analysis that I'm going to get to you when I list my key players, but I'm going to be honest, I really liked this look from the Tide. The game definitely felt wide open. The Crimson Tide scored early. Sydney Vincennes was playing the 9 role, that center forward role, as Mattingly was not there, and she scored in the 4th minute. This was her first collegiate career goal, so congrats to her. And it was a fun goal, too. She challenged a bad back pass to the Florida goalkeeper. She nutmegged the goalkeeper, which, if you're not familiar with the term, it's when you kick the ball in between the player's legs, and it's always a fun thing to see. It's kind of like, you know, the kiss of death. You don't want to have it happen. But it's always really fun when a player on the team that you're covering or rooting for does it. So she scored, and that also broke the score drought that Alabama had had against Florida. This also gave hope to it being Alabama's first win against Florida since 2012. And if you'll recall, Florida had and still has the better of the historical record between the two teams starting in 1995. Florida was definitely building from the back. But I will say Alabama was able to pick off some poorly placed passes from the Gators in the back. And it kind of seems like there were some bad decisions early on in their defending third from Florida. This allowed the Crimson Tide attacking players to be pests up in their finishing third. Of course, I say they were pests in the highest complimentary sense possible. I would love to be called a pest in that way. So Alabama was able to keep the attack going when they had possession. Florida is a team who seems like they like to keep possession. And this forced Alabama to be pretty smart about when and how they were pressing up to put pressure on the Florida backline and goalkeeper. However, I will say, you know, it felt like Alabama did get a decent amount of possession time in that first half. Truly, the Alabama backline only looks like it dropped at all when Florida was able to get the ball and start an attack. Otherwise, it was pretty high up in the field the whole game, pretty close to the midfield line, honestly. The game was pretty stretched the whole first half. Mostly, it was played in both finishing thirds. The midfield didn't really see that much action. Alabama won a lot of second balls in the attack and dictated the pace, or at least it felt like they were dictating the pace. And then another logistical detail, the rain was getting heavier as the half went on, so again, playing in sloppy conditions. So let's talk about halftime. Brief little statistic update here. So it felt like Alabama dominated the first half, as I said earlier, but the shots and shots on goal between Florida and Alabama were even at the half, which I thought was interesting, because it really didn't feel that way. UA did have more saves and more corners at the half, and the team looked really loose on the broadcast, ready to head into the second half, like Mississippi State did headed into overtime in week two. And if you'll recall, personally, this is something that I really like to see from a team, and it caused me a little worry that Mississippi State did look so loose headed into overtime, where Alabama didn't. They looked super determined, which is obviously a fantastic way to be, but I was very personally excited to see them look so just loose and free and excited to head into the half. Unfortunately, that half did not go their way. It ultimately, you know, didn't stay dominated by Alabama. The University of Florida brought in four All-American players in their recruited freshman class, and to start the second half, they put in seven sophomores and freshmen on the field, so some of those All-American players. They stayed on the front foot through pretty much the entire second half. That could be because they brought on so many fresh legs. It was interesting. Florida played, they rotated in a lot more players than Alabama did through the game. Now, I'm not sure if that's because Alabama was short a few players or, you know, simply just a tactical difference between the two head coaches. But the momentum was shifted towards Florida pretty early on in that second half. It really wasn't even that Alabama looked gassed, because that was a concern that some people had headed into this game after coming off of playing 110 minutes in 90% humidity, although I will say Florida also came into this game after playing 110 minutes. You know, the fitness levels of both teams, especially of the Tide, looked good. It really looked more like the Crimson Tide was not able to connect passes. They were pretty much trying to play the long ball exclusively, and it looks like if they had been able to connect more in the midfield, it would slow the pace and allow them to calm the game down. Now, this would have been useful after Florida scored a goal in the 61st minute to equalize. Florida then scored again in the 89th minute with just over a full minute left to play. So, you know, this is another heartbreaker, and you have to think that after the buzzer beater against Mississippi State in week two, and then a goal in the last full minute of play, the Tide is probably looking at how to finish out the last 20 minutes or so of the game on a stronger note, because that just really does feel like salt in a wound, if you ask me. So, some quick stats to round out that analysis. At the end of the game, Florida had 18 shots with 12 on goal, where Alabama had 8 shots with 3 on goal. McKinley Crone had a big game again. She had 10 saves. Alabama had 2 yellow cards, no reds this time. And all listed defensive players and Crone, the goalkeeper, played all 90 minutes of this match. Now, my list of key players. So I want to start it off with Verpale. She is a senior listed as a midfielder, but I usually notice her lining up in more of a defensive role. But I will say with the aggressive press, she was usually higher up the field this game, which I thought was a really fun look from her. Here are 2 direct quotes from my game notes, because I feel like I summed it up pretty well without really even realizing it, and I just am going to share that. So here they are. Verpale showing clinical control and bringing down long passes to then continue to build downfield and create opportunities. And then Verpale really showing some speed in this game. So there was a couple times where she really put on the gas and got up and down the sides to help play wherever she was needed. She played more of a box-to-box game this week, and she delivered a couple of the corner kicks. She had great service in. Ultimately, they just weren't able to be put away. But I had fun watching her this game. I thought that she had an interesting look playing in more of that box-to-box role than we usually see her. Another player I want to highlight is Macy Clem. She is a sophomore midfielder. She had a good game against Mississippi State, too. I just didn't include her in my list last week. But she basically did the same thing in this game that she did that game. I just noticed it more this week. She offered a really good defensive presence in the midfield. I think she offers a lot of control with the ball at her feet and is very smart with her positioning to start and stop plays in that midfield. So I'm very excited to see how she continues this season. Another player is Sasha Pickard. She is a sophomore defender. She was in for Sanchez Corretto, and I thought she had a really good game and offered a very calm and dominant presence in that back line. And then, as always, McKinley Crone. She really worked to come up and sweep balls away with that high back line. So, you know, always pretty impressive to me. Certainly was again in this game, even with the 2 goals that did get past her. But still, 10 saves, that's a pretty ridiculous game. So the next game will be in Tuscaloosa, a nice break from 2 away games. It will be Sunday at 2 p.m. This game is going to be against the Arkansas Razorbacks. The Razorbacks are the first in the SEC West, which is the conference Alabama is in, and their division. I don't know, you know, if you don't know this or not, but I feel that is relevant. Arkansas is 3-0-0. UA is now 1-1-1, and Arkansas are the reigning SEC champs. Now, this will be the halfway point in the shortened season. There are only 8 games in the season. This will be Alabama's 4th. And because this season is shortened, every game does mean more. But this game certainly is a must-win for the Crimson Tide, in my opinion. Alabama was ranked number 15 headed into the game against Florida, and they are now dropped out of the rankings, whereas Arkansas is ranked number 3. They are a very athletic team, and I think this is going to be a really fun game. Now, fans are not allowed into the stadium if not on a pass from a player or coach, but the game is broadcast on ESPNU. Again, that game is going to be Sunday at 2 p.m. Central Time. I hope you tune in and cheer on the Tide. Even though we can't be there in person, I feel as if the players can probably sense your support from afar. Thank you for riding with me through all 3 episodes of this podcast and all 3 name changes of this podcast. Once again, the new name is The Through Ball, and I am MGC's here for 90.7 The Capstone. I hope you tune in to the game this weekend. And as always, I will be back next week to offer my analysis, key players, and uninterrupted opinions. Bye for now.